The wind does not just take the roof from a house. It takes the breath from the forest. It takes the history from the soil. We often speak of hurricanes as natural disasters. We measure them in wind speeds and barometric pressure. But the real disaster is what we left behind before the clouds even gathered. Across the 1900s, we stripped the Caribbean of its natural armor. We traded ancient mahogany for quick timber. We traded deep roots for shallow promises. When the great storms of the mid-20th century arrived, they found a land that had been weakened by our own hands. This is not just a story of weather. It is a story of how we abandoned the very trees and creatures that held our islands together. We are looking at a century of neglect that turned a seasonal breeze into a permanent scar on our geography. The silence in the woods today is not natural. It was built. Chapter 1: The Wind and the Woods. The Caribbean, at the turn of the 1900s, was a place of deep, dark greens. In the high ridges of Dominica and the Blue Mountains of Jamaica, the air stayed cool under the canopy of old-growth forests. These were not just collections of trees. They were complex systems of survival. Mahogany and cedar stood as the anchors of the earth. Their roots were thick cables that gripped the limestone and the volcanic soil. They had survived centuries of storms because they grew together. A forest is a shield. When the wind hits the outer edge, the energy is dispersed. The canopy breaks the fall of the heavy rains. The soil stays where it belongs. But we saw these forests as a bank account. By the early 1900s, the extraction was relentless. The colonial powers and local elites saw the timber as a commodity for export. We cut the oldest trees first. We took the ones that had stood for 300 years. When you remove a grandfather tree, you leave a hole in the sky. You also leave a hole in the protection of every smaller plant beneath it. The forest floor, once shaded and moist, became dry and brittle. The birds that relied on these specific heights for nesting found themselves exposed. This was the beginning of the abandonment. We took the value and left the vulnerability. In 1928, the San Felipe Segundo hurricane tore through the region. It was a monster. It hit the Leeward Islands and Puerto Rico with a force that people had forgotten was possible. In the areas where the forests had been thinned for logging, the results were catastrophic. Without the deep roots of the mahogany to hold the slopes, the mountains simply gave up. Landslides buried entire villages. This was not just the fault of the rain. It was the fault of the empty spaces we created in the woods. We had removed the anchors. The wildlife suffered a different kind of death. Consider the imperial parrot, the ciceru. It lives only in Dominica. It is a bird of the high canopy. It needs old, hollow trees to nest. Those trees take a century to grow. When the logging took the timber, the parrots were pushed into smaller and smaller patches of survival. Then came the storms of the late 70s. Hurricane David, in 1979, was a turning point. It was a Category 5 pressure cooker. It shredded the remaining mountain forests of Dominica. The birds that survived the wind died of starvation in the weeks that followed. The fruits were gone. The flowers were gone. We had left them no backup plan. We had cut down the secondary forests that usually offered food when the high ridges failed. We often talk about these events as if they are freak accidents. We call them acts of God, but we must look at our own ledgers. Throughout the first half of the 20th century, we prioritized the immediate gain of the timber trade over the long-term stability of the ecosystem. We watched as the endemic species of our islands were squeezed into corners. The Caribbean has one of the highest rates of endemism in the world. This means our animals are found here and nowhere else. When a forest in a small island is destroyed, there is no next door for those animals to go to. They simply cease to exist. The tragedy of the 1900s was the slow realization that the land was becoming fragile. We were losing the topsoil that fueled our agriculture. Every time a major storm passed, the rivers ran red or brown with the literal skin of our islands. This sediment flowed out to the sea. It began to choke the near-shore environments. The connection between the mountaintop and the seafloor is a straight line. When we abandoned the forest to the loggers, we effectively signed a warrant for the entire landscape. The birds grew quiet. The cicadas had fewer places to hide. The very sound of the Caribbean morning began to change. We were moving into an era of concrete and clearing. We thought we were building modern nations. We thought we were moving away from the wild and toward the civilized. But civilization requires a foundation. By 1950, that foundation was washing into the Caribbean Sea with every seasonal rain. We had traded our natural defenses for a few shipments of lumber and a lot of empty mountain slopes. The stage was set for a new kind of neglect, one that moved from the mountains down to the very edge of the water. The wind was no longer the only enemy. The silence in the brush was growing louder. Chapter 2. The Salt and the Concrete. By the 1980s, the focus of our neglect shifted from the mountains to the shoreline. The global economy demanded tourism. The Caribbean was sold as a paradise of white sand and clear water. To build this paradise, we had to destroy the very things that kept the islands from washing away. We turned our eyes to the mangroves. To a developer, a mangrove swamp is a nuisance. It is a place of mud, mosquitoes, and tangled roots. It does not look like a postcard, so we cleared them. We tore out the red and black mangroves to make room for resorts, marinas, and coastal roads. This was a strategic error of historic proportions. Mangroves are the shock absorbers of the coast. Their tangled roots trap sediment and break the power of storm surges. They are also the nurseries of the sea. This is where the snapper, the grouper, and the lobsters begin their lives. When we ripped out the mangroves, we didn't just lose a few trees. We lost the wall. We also lost the future of our local food systems. We replaced a living, breathing defense system with concrete sea walls. Concrete is rigid. It does not grow. It does not adapt. When a storm surge hits a concrete wall, the energy has nowhere to go but down or around. The water scours the sand from the base of the wall, eventually causing it to collapse. A mangrove forest, however, breathes with the water. It slows the surge down. It absorbs the salt. By the mid-80s, huge stretches of the Caribbean coastline were stripped bare. We were building hotels on the edge of a grave. The neglect went deeper than the physical clearing. It was a neglect of the water itself. As we developed the coast, we created massive amounts of runoff. Without the mangroves to filter the water, every chemical, every bit of sewage, and every handful of loose soil went straight onto the coral reefs. The reefs are the second line of defense. They are the offshore breakwaters that turn giant waves into ripples before they reach the beach. But coral is a living animal. It needs clear, nutrient-poor water to survive. We smothered them. The sediment from our construction sites and our poorly managed farms settled on the coral and choked it. The chemicals fueled the growth of algae that overran the reef. By the time the storms of the late 80s and 90s hit, the reefs were already dying. A dead reef crumbles. It loses its height. It stops being a barrier. When Hurricane Gilbert tore across the region in 1988, the waves hit the shore with a fury that the dead reefs could no longer contain. The salt water pushed miles inland. It poisoned the groundwater. It killed the crops. This period was defined by a specific kind of arrogance. We believed we could engineer our way out of environmental limits. We believed that a resort was worth more than a swamp. But the environment does not negotiate. When we abandoned the mangroves, we abandoned the coastal communities. The people who lived in the fishing villages felt it first. The catch got smaller. The water came higher up the path every year. The development wasn't for them. It was a system that extracted beauty and left behind a fragile, salty shell. The animals of the coast suffered in the dark. The sea turtles came to the beaches to lay eggs and found sea walls and bright lights. Their hatchlings, confused by the artificial glow of the resorts, crawled toward the hotels instead of the ocean. They died in the hundreds of thousands under the tires of rental cars or in the heat of the morning sun. We had taken their nesting grounds and replaced them with a landscape that was hostile to their very existence. This is the definition of abandonment. We invited the world to look at our beaches while we destroyed the systems that created them. By the end of the century, the map of the Caribbean coast had changed. It was a map of hard edges and disappearing life. The vibrant colors of the reef were turning to a dull, skeletal gray. The nurseries were silent. We were waiting for a reckoning, and we had stripped away every layer of protection that could have softened the blow. The concrete was ready to crack, the sea was rising, and we had given it a clear path to our front doors. Chapter 3. The Long Silence. we entered the 21st century with a landscape that was tired. The storms were no longer just seasonal events. They were becoming more frequent and more intense. In September of 2017, the bill finally came due. Hurricane Irma and Hurricane Maria did not just break records, they broke the spirit of the islands. But the real story is not the wind, it is what happened after the wind stopped. It is the long silence of the months and years that followed. When Maria hit Dominica and Puerto Rico, it stripped the islands down to the bone. Because we had already thinned the forests and destroyed the coastal buffers, there was nothing to catch the blow. The landslides in the interior were so massive, they changed the shapes of the mountains. But the neglect showed its true face in the aftermath. Conservation sites, some of the last places on Earth where endemic species lived, were simply forgotten in the rush for human recovery. We understand that human life must come first. But we failed to realize that human life in the Caribbean is tied to the health of the land. In the years after 2017, funding for wildlife protection dried up, the rangers were laid off, the fences around protected areas fell down, and were never fixed. Invasive species moved in, rats, cats, and mongoose, which thrive in the chaos of a post-storm landscape, moved into the heart of the forests to finish off the birds and lizards that the wind had spared. The imperial parrot of Dominica, which we fought so hard to save in the 70s, faced a new crisis. After Maria, their habitat was so decimated that they began to appear in coastal towns, looking for any scrap of food. Instead of a national mobilization to protect a global treasure, there was a quiet resignation. Some birds were even spirited away to foreign zoos, under the guise of protection, a move that many locals saw as a final theft of their natural heritage. We are watching the permanent silence of our unique species. Once they are gone, no amount of money or concrete can bring them back. The abandonment is also visible in our cities. In the modern Caribbean, we have built drainage systems that are designed for a climate that no longer exists. We have paved over the wetlands that used to soak up the rain. Now even a minor storm causes devastating floods. The water has nowhere to go because we have blocked its path with progress. We see the trash-clogged gullies of Kingston and Port-au-Prince. This is human neglect in its most visible form. We have treated our environment as a sewer for 100 years, and now the sewer is backing up into our living rooms. The legacy of this century is a loss of memory. Ask a young person in the Caribbean today what the reef looked like 40 years ago. They cannot tell you. They see a grey rocky bottom and think that is what the ocean is. Ask them about the sound of the forest at dusk. It is quieter now. We are losing the vocabulary of our own land. We have abandoned the responsibility of being stewards. We have become tenants on our own islands, waiting for the next big one to hit, so we can start the cycle of poor rebuilding all over again. The cost of this neglect is not just measured in dollars. It is measured in the extinction of the things that make us who we are. A Caribbean, without the song of its endemic birds, without the protection of its reefs, and without the shade of its mahogany, is not the Caribbean. It is just a collection of vulnerable rocks in a rising sea. We must face the truth. We have been complicit in the stripping of our own home. The storms are getting stronger, but we are getting weaker because we have severed our ties to the earth. The final line of our history will not be written by the wind. It will be written by whether we choose to stand in the gap and replant what we have torn down. If we do not, the silence will become permanent. The land will finally finish the process of forgetting us, just as we have spent a century forgetting it. The clouds are gathering again. The question is what we have left to lose.